Prepare your heart for what God wants to say to you through this particular passage of Scripture. I want to camp here so that we can learn how to make wise decisions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. I love the story of the woman in West Denver. She ran into a snowstorm, and the snowstorm, as you know, if you've ever been in a snowstorm in the west of Denver, you know it can be horrendous. And she was terrified. And all of a sudden, she came upon a snowplow. And the snowplow was blowing snow, and she thought, if I can just get up behind him and follow him, I'll be okay. So she got on behind him, and she followed him, and she kept following him, and she kept following him. The snowplow would make its turns, and she'd turn with the snowplow, and the snowplow would make another turn, and she'd follow the snowplow, and finally the snowplow driver stopped. And he dismounted his cab, and he walked back, and he said, "Lady, where are you going?" And she said, "I'm going to Denver." She said, "If you keep following me, you'll never find Denver, because I'm plowing a parking lot." But therein lies a great picture of a problem of humanity today. We often spend a lot of time following the snowplow, plowing the parking lot. There's a lot of things out there that tells you how you can be successful, how you can have a straight life. But I'm here to tell you, God's word says that we can have a straight life if you follow the right taillights. In order to get to our destination, you have to be on the right road. I wanted to dispel a few myths about guidance. Let's see if we can get this to go. Nope, this is last week's or 2 weeks ago or something. We'll just turn it off. You can turn that off. We'll just go without it. There are some myths here. Myth number one is that God's will is hard to find. Many people struggle to discern what God wants us to do in specific situations. Much of what he desires is already revealed for us in the Scripture. Proverbs 6:22 puts it this way, "When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you." The Word of God guides us, it protects us, it gives us instruction, it speaks to us. In other words, the Bible has already revealed God's will for us in the largest majority of things. In the past few weeks, as we've been looking through this little cutout in Proverbs, we've seen that it's God's will for us to revere him and to seek him. We found that it's God's will for us to speak words of life, not words of death, to one another. We've learned that God has specific things to say to the family. He had things that he should say to the husbands, and he had things to say to wives. He had things to say to grandpas and grandmas, and he has things to say to parents, and he has things to say to kids. And those are all his will. Because the Scriptures want us to know God's will. God's not up there with a bunch of shells floating around on top of a table saying, "Okay, where is the pea?" He wants us to know. Myth number two is somehow we think that God wants us to know the future. It's interesting, in 5,000 evangelical church interviews, they ask the question, what is the most important message your pastor could preach? What do you think it was? No, they wanted, that was number two. Number one was they wanted to know prophecy. They want to know the future because somehow God owes me the future. I need to know the future. That's a myth. Proverbs 6:23, the very next verse. Remember I read the first verse in 6:22. It says, when you walk, they'll guide you. When you sleep, they'll watch over you. When you wake, they'll speak to you. The next part of that verse is, these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. The picture is not of a spotlight that fills the room. It's really a picture of, some of you are too young, but when I was a boy, we had them funky silver flashlights. Do you remember them? They weren't much of a flashlight. You clicked them on, and if you pointed it right down where you could see where you were going to make the next step, but if you pointed it like that, you was just like black dark. But that's the picture that you get here. It'll be like a lamp. All you get to see is one step at a time. The scriptures spend a lot of time talking about living a life of faith. Faith is living life one step at a time. God doesn't care if you know the future or not. The future is in His hands. If you know God, the future is irrelevant. The greatest thing about God, I laid there in that hospital bed and they didn't know what the heck was wrong with me. Still don't, by the way. But I know God. And it doesn't matter. And they said, we want to talk to you about that little band you have on your arm. I had one of them do not resuscitate bands. They said, are you serious about that? And I said, absolutely. I'm only going to get better. And we want to talk to you about this. So I hemmed and hawed, went around and around, and I finally said, all right, I'll rescind it for this procedure on this basis. You guarantee me that I'm not coming back as a veggie. If I'm going back as a veggie, you let me go home to Jesus. Because it's all good for me. Because I know Jesus. See, the future is not the problem. My problem is today. My problem is now. Bobby and I are related, see? He and I have the same problems. Myth number three is we need to be 100% sure before we do anything. I've watched so many Christian couples, who are called by God to full-time ministry say, well, I'm just not certain. I'm just not certain. We go back to that life of faith. See, faith isn't about being certain. Faith is about certain in who we trust in. You know, I love Romans 8:28. It's my life verse. I've lived my whole life around that verse. And the reason is because what it tells me is even when I do a me, God is still at work to bring about good in my life. When I sin, God says, you know, son, this discipline is going to be painful, but really it's going to work good for you. And I need that. We need to be able to learn how to step out in faith. We need to be able to say, look, I've done all the research I can do. It's time for me to say, Lord, right or wrong, I'm going forward for you. My prayer for this church with Russ is that we will go forward. Not that we'll sit back on our laurels and say, yeah, we got this guy. Now he can come in. He can take care of it. He can do the work, and we can just sit here and sit sour. No, what we want to do is get behind him and push his nose right into the fight. Come on. Don't give him any slack. Come on. God wants to accomplish a great thing here. We live in a community of darkness all around us. But the darker that gets, the brighter we look. Myth number four is God's greatest goal is my happiness. And as Americans, we fall into that trap all the time. We think that God wants us to be happy. You know, God could care less if you were happy. I know that sounds like heresy, doesn't it? But God really doesn't care if you're happy. God wants you to be holy. And I learned a long time ago that when I'm holy, I have real happiness. Somebody's got my thing up. All right. It's always nice. God is committed to our holiness, not our happiness. And yet we spend so much of our time investing in our happiness. Happiness is an interesting word. Happiness is oriented around the idea of circumstances. So happiness is dependent on all the circumstances in my life being right. Happiness is when I feel good. Happiness is when my wife is kind and serves me. She's done wonderful, by the way, the last couple of 3 weeks. Amen. You're right, brother. You're right. Happiness is all circumstance. See, happiness isn't important, but holiness, now that's a whole different horse. Holiness means that I'm going to be like Jesus. Remember Jesus when he'd sit over Jerusalem and he looked out and the scripture says he wept. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would have I gathered you to myself as a hen of her chicks, but you would not." Wasn't much happiness there. All you can hear in those words is agony. All you can hear is suffering. The corrections of discipline are the way of life. It is God's will, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, that you should be holy. If you're here today and you're a Christian, it is God's will that you should be holy. That means when you hit your finger with a hammer, what should come out should be praise, not profanity. I know, it don't always work. But that's God's will. And if you ain't better today than you were yesterday, you need to be getting a little more time in the book. Because that's what will change your life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. Such a powerful passage of scripture. Trust. It's a great word, isn't it? Trust. That word literally in the Hebrew means to lean with the whole body weight upon it. I suppose the best illustration is to be a chair. It's the idea of when you sit all the way down and you put everything on it. Remember when we were in school and the girls that you were interested in, she'd sit down in front, you'd pull the chair back and she'd land on the floor and everybody laughed. Remember that? She really trusted in that chair. She committed her trust to that chair. The word picture is the idea of committing yourself with full confidence that you won't be let down. When you trust, you put your full weight upon it. To trust in the Lord means to rest your full weight, everything you've got, upon Him. Proverbs 29:25 says, whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All. All. It's interesting, this word all, it's the word that's used in Leviticus chapter 22, I think it is. Maybe I have it on here. Back up. Yeah, anyway, in that passage in Leviticus, it talks about the offering that's placed on the altar. And the designation of the offering placed upon the altar was that it was to be totally consumed. That's the idea. All your heart, totally consumed. He wants us to be like the offering on the altar, where we give ourselves to Him without reservation. What do you hold back? What are you holding back? What is there in you that says, God can have all this, but this right here, this is mine? He don't get in. Some of you guys, it's pornography. Some of you women, it's the female pornography called soap operas. Maybe it's that other god that seems to be prevalent today, which is called Facebook. I know I'm going to get in trouble here, so I better shut up and move on. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Ponder that passage for just a few moments. You know, God never wanted us to be half-baked sacrifices or half-hearted devotion. Coming to church was never supposed to be a hobby. It's commitment. You've probably heard the story of the pig and the chicken that were walking along in the road, and they came to a sign and it said, fundraising breakfast. And the chicken looked at the pig and said, well, this is right up our alley. Let's go in and have a help them out. And the pig looked at the chicken and said, that's great for you. For you it's a contribution, but for me it's total commitment. And you know what? That's what He wants from us. He doesn't want just to drop off a few eggs. He wants every single bit of us. Do you make contribution? Or do you give your life? Does Jesus Christ own you, lock, stock, and barrel? If He whispered in your ear today, I want you to go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor and come follow me. What's your response? You say, Pastor, you're peeling pretty close to the bark, and that's my intent. It's my last shot. You throw me out, it's no big deal. Russ has to fix all the problems anyway. heart. Heart refers to more than the place where feelings come from. The Old Testament, the heart was the center of the mind, the will, the emotions. We're to trust God with all our feelings. See, God cares about your feelings. God gave you those emotions. He gave you those emotions for a reason. But he didn't give them to you to have them lead you. Knowing God's will is not a tricky problem. It's not fancying some formula. Verse 5 says, I got too many problems here. Something's not right. We'll stop with that. For the time being, until I can figure out where I'm at here. That's what happens when you get wound up. You lose your track of where you are. Don't trust in your own understanding. Don't trust in your own understanding. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end, it leads to death. That's trusting in your own understanding. He who trusts himself is a what? But he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. The pathway of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Everything you do, every detail of your life, acknowledge. Acknowledge. It means to intimate communion. To make a place for him. That word acknowledge is an interesting word. It's taken out of the Hebrew idea of marriage. And it has an aspect of intimacy to it that can only be learned by experience. You can't read a book about it. You can't be taught about it. You have to live it. You have to experience it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, what you need to do is practice that experience of intimacy with God. And it grows, and it grows, and it grows. I think that's one of the hardest things for Christians today to do. We need to learn how to rest in the Lord. Give yourself totally to him. Don't automatically trust what you think you should do. But I want to take a look at that next part of the verse, of verse 6. It talks about in all our ways acknowledging him. And then he'll make our path straight. What does it mean to have a straight path? I started out in life, I was going to be some of those things I won't mention, but I started out, I wanted to be an auto body mechanic. I wanted to do body work. I like body work. I know I'm stupid, right? But I kind of like that. There's very few things in the world that smell as good to me as an open can of Bondo. I know, I'm strange. So I went that direction for a while, and then I started rebuilding engines and cars, and I decided I was going to be a mechanic. And so I went that way for a while, and I rebuilt engines, and I had my own shop for a while. And I was a Christian at this time. And I bounced from one job to another job, another job, to another job, to another job. There is no way anyone could ever say that my path was straight. But finally one day came when I said, God, you can have me all. And from that day forward, I have a straight line. You know what that straight line is? when I was laying on that hospital bed and they were saying to me, you really want to have this do not resuscitate thing? Yeah, because that's my straight line. I'm going home. I have one place, one goal, one idea, one thing that lives in my heart and in my mind on a daily basis. And that's heaven. To be with Jesus. And my job and the process on that way is to drag as many people along with me as I can. Wise decisions. Some guidance guidelines. I'm a quit early. How's that for an unusual thing for me? Number one guideline decision is lordship. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. I told you when I started this, I wanted to take some proverbs and make those proverbs useful in your life so that as you walk through life, you could fall back on the proverb and have some kind of an idea of what to do with your life. Lordship. Is Jesus Christ first in your life? These are caused pregnant pauses. Pregnant pauses are supposed to birth revelation on your heart. Lordship. Someone has said there are too many cafeteria Christians today. They want to pick and choose what they want instead of letting God plan the meal. Warren Wiersbe wrote, "The will of God isn't a curiosity for us to study. It's a command for us to obey. God isn't obligated to reveal his will unless we're willing to obey it." Principle number two, the word of God. He who scorns instruction will pay for it, but he who respects a command is rewarded. What principles or commands or prohibitions from the scripture apply to the decisions in your life? When you come to a decision in your life, what scripture, what prohibition, what instruction from God's word do you bring to bear on that particular idea? Because every decision you make as a Christian is covered in God's word. Everyone. Often they're covered in broad principles. But if you don't know the principles, how do you apply them? You got to know God's word. Number three, prayer. I'm always amazed at the pathetic, pitiful, powerless prayer life that I have. I know these principles, but how often when I have a decision to make, do I pray or do I just say, man, you know, I think I got the right idea here. I can make this decision. I don't need God's plan here. I don't need to pray. I mean, it's simple. I don't need prayer for this. Oh, maybe you're all better. Maybe you all pray all the time. I don't know. But I know I struggle over it all the time. But prayer is our greatest asset. It went away. Just see what happens? That's what happens to my life. It just disappears. I know it's there and it disappears. Prayer. The plans of the diligent leads to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. And the fourth one is godly counsel. Listen to advice and accept instruction. In the end, you'll be wise. Most of the dumb decisions I've made is because I didn't ask for wise counsel. I get impatient. I get prideful. and I make a decision that I shouldn't have made. There are many other plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Do you believe that? See, I really do. I think Romans 8:28 just makes that very clear. I think that God knows exactly what he's doing in every one of our lives. I don't think he made a mistake when he brought me here. I don't think he made a mistake when he brought Russ here. I don't think God made a mistake when he brought you here. Some of you are God's greatest gift to this community. But you've been hiding for years. I want to challenge you. Be like the pig. Be fully committed. Give it all. Put your all on the altar for God. Give all of you to him. No reservations. Father, thank you for our day, for the time we've had together. I pray that you'll bless this message. I pray you'd challenge hearts and that you'd move us toward holiness. We need you, Lord. I love that song. We need you. We need you so desperately because we are so consumed with self. We are so blinded to our own sin. We are so self-centered and so lost. But you, Lord, you are our hope. You are our Lord. You are the only thing that makes life worth living. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.